This morning, our opening hymn, number 564, Christ Sits at God's Right Hand. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the gift of your word of law, which shows us our sin, your word of law, which teaches us how to live, your word of law, which shows us that we cannot save ourselves. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, who has fulfilled the law for us. We thank you for his love, for his peace, for his forgiveness. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name of love, Jesus, for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 564.
Thank you.
Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Give peace, O Lord, to those who wait for you, and let your prophets be proven faithful. Hear the prayer of your servants, according to the blessing of Aaron upon your people. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. For my brothers and companions say, I will say, peace be with you.
We worship thee. We glorify thee.
with you. Let us pray. O God, because without you, we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
The 18th Sunday after Trinity is from Deuteronomy chapter 10.
And now, Israel, Lord your God require of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual printed on your insert.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers.
The Epistle, chapter 1. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel, an Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 694. Thee will I love, my strength, my tower, number 694.
Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, when someone thinks that they can save themselves by their own means, not by God's means, Jesus is very good at silencing them before God, shutting them up, if you will, fulfilling the words of Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." That's what we see in our gospel lesson for today. Two times in a row, Jesus silences people who think they can save themselves outside of God, who thinks they can earn favor without God, who look and trust in themselves and in their own works. In the verses immediately before our gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus has just shut up the Sadducees. You see, the Sadducees were a group of people who did not believe in supernatural things like miracles, angels, or resurrection, or life after death. And so the Sadducees tried to trick Jesus and asked him a question about the resurrection. If a woman has had more than one husband, whose wife will she be in the afterlife? They think they can trick him and thereby justify themselves as being smarter and wiser. But Jesus shuts them up quickly. "As for the resurrection of the dead," Jesus says, "have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. And when the Sadducees heard it, they shut their mouths and didn't bother Jesus anymore until Maundy Thursday. Right after this begins this morning's gospel lesson, where the Pharisees move in and they take their shot at Jesus. As our gospel lesson says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" The Pharisees, they were legalists, pietists, if you will, lawyers who believed that it was up to you to save yourself, to earn eternal life. How do you do that? By observing God's law perfectly, by keeping all the rules. And the Pharisees spent most of their days studying Scripture, looking for the laws, figuring out how to keep each and every one of them, or at least so they thought. They came up with a list of 613 laws that if you kept them all, then you will be saved. They want to see if Jesus understands the law. They want to see if Jesus knows how to save himself. So they ask him the question from above. A question that only well-studied, smart people should be able to answer. Unfortunately for them, Jesus is the Word made flesh, God's own Son, the one who wrote the law in the beginning. And being the writer of the law, Jesus knows it inside and out. And so he responds, here's the law. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets and all the scriptures. All 613 laws that you've come up with, Pharisees, can be boiled down to those two: love to God and love to neighbor. Jesus, the writer of the law, knows the law inside and out. He answers the question correctly. We still teach our confirmation students those two laws, those two tables of the law in our confirmation classes today. Fear, love, and trust in God perfectly. Love your neighbor as yourself perfectly. All the laws, you shall not murder, you should remember the Sabbath day, fall into those categories, and the Pharisees cannot argue with Jesus. But they still have a problem, an issue. They believe that by keeping those two laws, they'll be saved. To be more precise, they believe that they can and have kept those two laws. They're not looking to God for salvation. They're looking to themselves. Jesus always silences those who think they can save themselves by their own means and not by God's. So Jesus asks them a question now, so that they wouldn't look to themselves, but instead realize how badly they need God for salvation. Jesus says, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Jesus points their eyes somewhere else. They respond, "The Christ is the son of David." And Jesus said to them, "How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" In other words, Jesus' question really is, don't you know the scriptures? Haven't you read your Bible? You think you know what the Bible says. You think you know all the law. But you can't answer this simple question? You're not perfect. You aren't holy within yourself. You've missed something. You see, Jesus won't let false doctrine stand. He won't let doctrine that leads to a false understanding of salvation stand. He silences it. He shuts those up who believe it. He silences the Sadducees. He silences the Pharisees. He won't share his job of forgiveness with sinful people. He won't let them think they are holy enough in themselves to go to heaven. He won't leave them trusting in something besides God. And And it's on this point, dear Christian, that the rubber hits the road. That you need to examine yourself. Will you be saved? Will you be in heaven? If the answer is yes, why? If God came down right now, ripped the roof off our church, and stood in front of you and demanded that each one of you told him why you would be in his kingdom, what would you tell him? Would you answer like the Sadducees and say, "Well, I know better than you, God. There is no resurrection. There is no supernatural things. There are no angels. There's no eternal life." Of course you wouldn't answer that way. God came down, right? He's standing in front of you. What would you say then? Could you deny God to his own face? Of course not. You'd be silent. Just like the Sadducees were silent before Jesus. Would you answer like the Pharisees? Would you tell God to his face that you've kept the law? Would you say, "I've loved you perfectly, God"? Of course not. You know it's not the truth, after all. You haven't loved God perfectly. You've denied his word. You've zoned out during the church service or confirmation class. It doesn't really bother you when you skip church services. There's other things to do, after all. You've misused God's name. You've loved your stuff more than God. Could you tell God, "I've kept your law perfectly. I've loved my neighbor"? No. You couldn't. You've hated. You've been angry, fought with your parents or other authorities. You've murdered in your heart. You've stolen, either on purpose or by accident. Even borrowing the neighbor's screwdriver and forgetting to return it breaks that seventh commandment. You get together with friends and gossip over coffee about your other friends or neighbors or family. And maybe you do that gossiping in a way that outwardly appears righteous, like saying, "Well, I can't tell you what so-and-so did, but it was bad." You've desired the things that God has given to your neighbor, but not to you. For example, spouses, present or future, homes, cars, money, wealth. You've even desired foolish little things like the newest smartphone that you've seen in the commercials. If God came down, asked you why you should be in heaven, how would you respond? We examine ourselves according to the law, we'd have to be silent. Based on our own merits, we don't deserve to be in heaven. Based on our own actions, our own thoughts, we don't deserve eternity. If we say anything before God, all we can say is this: Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. That's a good confession. Because mercy is exactly what God wishes to give. He gives you mercy in Jesus Christ, whom he sent to be crucified for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for every time someone failed to love God, be that you or your neighbor. The solution to that sin was Jesus dying on the cross. Christ came down for every time someone failed to love their neighbor. And the solution for that sin was Jesus dying on the cross. To forgive sin, God had to die. For you to be worthy to go to heaven, Jesus had to shed his blood for all the violations that you and I have committed against God's law. Jesus suffered for every time that you've tried to justify yourself in a way that God has not ordained. Every time you've tried to put your salvation into your own hands, Jesus died for that sin. Dear Christian, Jesus died for you so that standing before him, you might be silent and know that he is God, the God who saved you. And don't forget, dear Christian, what happened after Jesus was dead and buried. He rose again to live and to reign in his eternal kingdom forever. To reign with his enemies of sin, death, and the power of the devil as his footstool, conquered, destroyed by him. And he has promised that he is coming again with power and glory and might on the last day of this world. Why? To take sinners like you and me and all the Christians around the world to be with him in his kingdom. He has saved them. You are saved. Not by your own works or merit, but by the holy, precious blood, innocent suffering, and death of Jesus. You are saved. You could not wash away your sin, but God had to do it for you. He did it in the baptismal font, making you holy and righteous, covering you with the blood of Jesus. Takes away all sin. You'll be saved because God sent his word into your ear. And where the word is in its truth and purity, there the Holy Spirit is also. You will be saved. You are saved because God has given you his own body and blood to eat and to drink for forgiveness of your sins. We cannot claim salvation because of what we have done. We are saved because of what Jesus has done. In 1533, when preaching on this very gospel lesson, Martin Luther said it this way: If you want to have forgiveness of sin, do not try to climb up into heaven, but go and be baptized if you are not already. Or if you have been, remember the promise that God made to you in your baptism. Be reconciled to your neighbor and ask that the absolution be declared unto you in Jesus' name. Believe the word. Receive the most venerable sacrament of the body and blood of Christ so that you may be sure that such a priceless treasure is meant for you to have and to enjoy. Luther goes on and says, we must not despise baptism, absolution, preaching, and the sacrament, but seek and receive forgiveness of sins in this way. That is why God has ordained that there be pastors, fathers, mothers, and fellow Christians, and he places his word into their mouths that we might seek comfort and forgiveness of sins through them. Even though it is just people who speak, nevertheless, it is not just they who speak, but it is God's word. Therefore, trust it implicitly and do not despise it. Dear Christians, that's how God saves. If we try to save ourselves by our own actions, understandings, wealth, power, God will shut us up. He won't share salvation. He saves us by Jesus. He gives salvation by baptism, word, body, blood. Jesus saves us by his death and resurrection. And we inherit eternal life on his terms. We are saved. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by singing together the offertory found on page 192 in your hymnal, page 192. Please stand.
Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the gift of God who fulfills all law and then dies to give us life, would be your peace, your hope, today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. In addition to those prayer requests that are in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Deb Prince, who is scheduled for surgery on Wednesday. We pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, bless your church here in this place and scattered throughout the world. Fill all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with his love, that they might strive diligently to love you, one another, and all their neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, enrich all pastors in Christ in all speech and knowledge, that they would preach the gospel in its purity and administer the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you know how Satan prowls like a roaring lion, seeking to devour your children. By the power of your word and spirit, protect and defend those who are under Satan's attacks. Send your holy angels to be with them, that the evil foe may have no power over them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Generous Lord, we thank you for your delight in giving us all good gifts. Continue to bless us in both body and soul. Grant us generous hearts that we would support your ministry and mission among us and around the world with our gifts and offerings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, give guidance, wisdom, and safety to our president, our governor, and to all who make and judge our laws. Bless all civil servants as they carry out their offices and protect them in the line of duty. Bless all those serving in the armed forces of our land. Keep them safe and bless them with your guidance and protection. Especially we lay before you Ron, Leo, Kylan, Paris. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, continue to be merciful to all those who are suffering under the burden of any illness or ailment of body, soul, or spirit. We lay before you Barb, Tom, Michael, Ron, Julie, Myron, Gloria, Lisa, Phyllis, Juliana, Judy, Jerry, Karen, Austin, Gerald, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Strengthen and heal them according to your will, and bless all the hands that care for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, grant that we should always be glad to go to the house of the Lord, where we are fed and strengthened by your Son's body and blood at the holy altar. Fill us with your Spirit, that we would receive the blessed sacrament in repentance and faith and to our abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of gods and Lord of lords, we give you thanks for all who have preceded us in the faith and now rest from their labors. Sustain us in that same faith as we wait with them for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be found guiltless on the day of judgment. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ.
very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199.
Lord, thou hast my spirit, depart in peace, according to thy word. Lord, thine has seen my salvation, which thou hast prepared me for, God is
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 924. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, go get some goodies. We'll be back in here in about 5 minutes for our Sunday school opening. Two opportunities for adult Bible study today. We'll continue our look at Romans. We are in Romans chapter 5. I can't think of a better time of the year. 1 week before our Reformation celebration to be in Romans chapter 5. Also, we started a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class last week, room 109, Refresher in the Faith, or anyone who would like to find out a little bit more about being a Lutheran Christian, that's the place for you. Yesterday was a really, really great day here at the church. It was busy in so many ways. We had our blood drive, and we had people lined up for that. We had an African Violet Society sale with flowers and crafts and all kinds of stuff on one end of the building. We had the On the Hook fish truck in the parking lot, and there were people in and out and around and about, and it was really a glorious, glorious day. So neat to see all those things happening, and the people of God, and a lot of people exposed to our congregation who really hadn't been before. So that was pretty neat. Check out the news and notes. The activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Pastor, anything else?
In the back on one of the tables, there should be a sign-up sheet for the next college meal. That will be November 3rd following the second service. And so if you would like to help bring some food or get things ready, sign-up sheet for that's back there on that table. You'll notice there's not a lot of college students here this morning. They are on fall break. And so also as a result, we will not have college Bible study this evening at Seward either. We'll start again with that next week.
Okay, so we have lots of college students here. If you'd like to help, we're doing trying to do this once a month, providing a meal, and sign up there to help out. Also, we've been having some teasers in the news and notes. On Sunday, November 10, after the 10:30 service, we're going to have a budgeting class, and just kind of budgeting 101. Dale Borneman will be leading that class. All right, so got any questions about that? Come to him. We're still working on all the details, but I think food and childcare are all a part of the mix. So no cost to the class as well. So if you or somebody you know could benefit from just some basic budgeting 101, since almost all of us, including our congregation, live paycheck to paycheck, that's probably a really good thing. Everybody's invited for coffee and goodies, but before we do that, we have one of our members here today that we pray for every week. He's been gone. He went up east, I think, to Michigan or Minnesota or someplace, and for the last many months, he's been in Pensacola with his military training. He was recently deployed to Okinawa, so he's got a couple of weeks in between that he's here. Kylan, would you stand up? Kylan Schnell, thank you for your service, and you are always in our prayers. All right, please join us for coffee and goodies, a study of God's Word. Have a great day in Jesus.